This is Equestria Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, and joined by our lovely co-host in the great state of Missouri, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
Doing fine. We're a little bit hot and sticky back down here in the state of Tennessee, but that comes with the season. And we're going to be traveling to different parts of the country today, and maybe they're having a little better weather than we are. So let's just jump into the show. We have a lot to talk about, and tell us who our guests are.
Well, today we have Robert Eversole, our Trailmeister. Then we travel to Otto, New York, and talk with Alice Ferguson, and talk about her horse Wonderland at the R&R Dude Ranch.
All right, so we're looking forward to talking with Robert and with Alice. It's going to be a fun show, and we remind folks that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop online with them at trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more today about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. So grab a cup of coffee, take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with our Trailmeister, Robert Eversole. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat. Back in the saddle again, I'm riding the range once more, and I'm toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only log is right. I'm back in the saddle again, whoopee-tie-yi-ho, I'm rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again, whoopee-tie-yi-hey, I go my own way, cause I'm back in the saddle again. Is a friend where them longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat. I'm back in the saddle again, and I'm riding the range once more, and I'm toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. I'm back in the saddle. Whoopee-tie-yi-ho, I'm rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yi-hey, I go my own way, cause I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yi-hey, I go my own way, cause I'm back in the saddle.
Well, that's our neighbor just right down the road, Mr. Charlie Daniels, with Back in the Saddle Again. And we're welcoming to the show Robert Eversole. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Hey, Gary and Tina May, I think the song was very appropriate. I'm getting back in the saddle again myself.
All right, all right. Well, we have to keep our promise. We told folks about a week ago that when we had you on the show, we'd get a little bit of an update on Boo. So how's Boo?
Boo is a booger. He has been doing great. We've started our training for our AKC Good Canine Companion certificate. So
wow.
he's doing well with that. His newest trick to date, he will pick up sticks in the backyard and take them to the burn pile.
Hey.
So he's got himself a job.
All right. Good job, Boo. But anyway, for folks that are just finding out
good
about
job.
Boo for the first time, Boo is a rescue that Robert took in a few months ago, and it's been kind of fun following his progress. I hope that you're getting to sleep a little bit later now.
Just a bit. It's been good. I don't know how long it's been since his last accident inside, but it's long enough that I don't remember. So that's a good thing. he's doing great. He's not a trail puppy yet. That may not come until next year or so. We've got to work a lot more on coming when called and ignoring distractions from those little trail squirrels and chipmunks.
All right, all right. Well, we'll follow Boo's progress as we go along, so it's kind of fun to keep up with Mr. Boo. You know, we were talking a little bit about being back in the saddle before the show. We were talking about how crazy this weather has been everywhere across the country. And you recently took a trip that was a work party. Talk to us a little bit about that trip and what you encountered out there.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I'm a member of Backcountry Horsemen of Washington. And as far as I'm aware, we're the only state organization that has, we call it an annual work party. And we kind of go to some underserved areas and work like the Dickens, getting trails back together. So last week, or the week before last, we went into an area called the Pasaten Wilderness. And this is a really wild area in a really wild country. North central Washington skirts, about 50 miles of the Canadian border, so you can get an idea just how north it is. Got over 150 peaks that exceed 7,500 peak, so it's got
wow.
some pretty tall areas. It's got some
wow.
pretty shallow areas too, with, if I remember right, almost 200 lakes in the area. I mean, it's pretty spectacular.
Wow.
And heavens, back in '06, so a little while ago, there was a forest fire, and you know, just like now. Forest fires are a big deal. And the area that burned, if I remember right, three times the size of Seattle is the number that's coming to mind. So burned out a huge amount of forest. But as after a forest fire, the trees that are remaining, you know, they start falling a number of years as wind and rot take their steps. So these trails within this Pasaten area haven't been passable to stock, heavens, even to hikers, for a long, long time. And so the work party was to clear these trails, and not all 600 miles of trails, but rather we footed out about 50 miles from the east side of this Pasaten area, and seven different trails totaling, like I said, about 50 miles was our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Backcountry Horsemen of Washington, but the Washington Hiker Group, the Washington Trails Association, and some others. So we were all working together to open the trails to stocking hikers. I thought it was a really cool thing.
Well, it is a cool thing.
Yeah. And so we got up there. Some of my duties, I helped pack in the hikers groups, their camp and tools and supplies. Gary, you've never seen people happier than a group of hikers that don't have to carry in all of their tools and their camp supplies, and we can throw it on a bunch of mules. It's a beautiful sight.
I would imagine it should bring a new appreciation for outfitters and for their pack strings.
I think it does. So here's the exciting part. So I went in, dropped the hikers off, you know, the trail crew off, and came, spent a night in the wilderness area, and then came back out to the trailhead where the backcountry horsemen had their main camp. And I got back, I don't know, call it 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And so I spent, you know, Tuesday coming out from that hiker's camp, almost 20 miles. And so, you know, it's hot. It was in the low to mid 90s. And after I got the ponies taken care of, I sat down in my little collapsible chair, and I had a cold soda in my hand. And I start looking at the, you know, the horizon, you know, looking at that bluebird sky and the lodgepole pine and everything. And I noticed the funniest cloud. It was kind of brownish, and in one spot, the color of a bruise, I guess you'd call it.
Oh, wow.
It was a forest fire.
Wow.
And right after kind of noticed that smoke coming up, then the Forest Service radios started squawking, you know, all about this fire. And you know, Forest Service evacuated the hiker group, told them to leave all their stuff and get the heck out of Dodge.
Wow.
And that was kind of the start of the drama. Fortunately, that the fire was moving away from where we were, so we weren't in any danger. And actually, we got to go in and help. We went in the next day. The Forest Service said it was safe to do so. I think a good thing about, you know, stock use is we can cover more ground than people on foot. So
right.
We send a stock string back to where we left the hiker camp, picked up all of their stuff because they had left it, of course, and also kind of swept up a couple hikers, backpacking parties that were in the backcountry and needed some help getting all their stuff out as well. First time I had seen a puppy dog wrapped up in a manti to be carried out. So it worked well for everybody.
Wow. Well, that was more excitement than you were planning on for that particular trip. Were you able to accomplish any of your goal?
Oh, heavens yes. You know, we had to move the work west a little bit from where we had originally planned, but we still got 42 miles of wilderness trails cleared and open for stock use.
Oh, that's fantastic. So
8 days, 42 miles, and good heavens, you talk about a lot of trees that were down. I don't know if you've seen my Facebook page, but I have a new crosscut saw. I've named her Stella. And Stella and I went through a lot of logs.
Well, I started to ask that question a minute ago. Some areas, they don't allow any kind of power equipment. You have to use hand equipment. And is that the case there?
That is. Stella is a 1942 model, 42-inch Atkins crosscut saw in the perforated lance pattern. Now, if anybody knows what that means, they're better than me. I'm just kind of repeating it from what my sharpener told me.
I have no clue.
Neither do I. All I know is that it cuts through wood like soft butter.
That's great.
Yeah, in wilderness areas, you know, no machines, no chainsaws, no generators, no drills, no nothing. It's all hand-powered stuff. No wheelbarrows even. It's, you know, the rules for wilderness areas are pretty strict, and a lot of times it can be a kind of a pain in the tuchus if you're trying to get work done, but
right.
You know, it's I think the end result is a great thing by keeping it, you know, keeping the wild wild, if you will.
Right. Well, how many folks were actually out there working? Because to think about spending 8 days out and clearing 42 miles of trails, that's quite a feat. With no power.
It was.
No chainsaws, nothing like that.
No chainsaws. A lot of whopping big crosscuts and McClintocks. and Pulaski's and a lot of big whopping hand tools. But 42 miles of trails were cleared by a total of 44 people and, let's see, 65 horses and mules.
Wow.
So a lot of packing was going on, packing tools in, packing tools out. But 44 people total were there. You know who the most important ones of that 44 were, though?
I would think the mules.
Oh, heavens no. The ladies that manned the cook tent.
Hey, I should have known better. I should have known better.
You know who you're talking to?
I do. Hey, we want to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk more about that experience. And we also, I think, might want to talk a little bit about the importance in people getting involved in trail maintenance and exactly what that involves. But right now, we want to acknowledge one of our fine sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply. Trailhead Supply is your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in horse camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply online today at trailheadsupply.com. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking more with our trail meister, Robert Eversole, and Tina Mae Weber on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track, drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Don't matter much to me. I guess she wanted me to put down roots, but I just couldn't grow them through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting. Here we go. Got the wind in my back.
Our R.W. Hampton and Drifting Again, and that's from his Austin to Boston CD. And Robert, as I was listening to that song and thinking about our conversation before our break, there's none of us, you, Tina May, anybody else that rides trails, can enjoy those trails unless somebody is out there and keeping those things clear, whether it be from fires or tornadoes or wind or torrential rains.
Absolutely.
How should people get involved in helping to keep these trails maintained and open? I mean, it's one thing to just load your trailer up and go out and enjoy them, but what about all the work that goes into keeping these things open?
Oh, you're so right, Gary. I mean, trail maintenance is such a huge and important aspect to trail riding. You know, it's not just going out and enjoying the trails. Somebody's got to pick up the branches, the leaves, you know, fix washouts, things like that. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of times the land managers don't have the manpower to do it. So it falls to volunteer groups. You know, like I said, I belong to the, you know, the Backcountry Horsemen Association, but there's lots of others as well. I would say, you know, find your local equine group, see if they do trail work. And not all of it is pulling a crosscut back and forth and swinging a Pulaski. A lot
right.
of it can be as easy as, you know, lopping back, you know, branch ends as you're going on a ride. That counts too, or picking up at the trailhead. Or, you know, my bugaboo, that 12-ounce can, I have never figured out how a 12-ounce can weigh more empty than it does full, because, gosh darn it, they carried it in. Why can't they carry it out after they've drank it?
Absolutely.
You know, so there's trail maintenance is a big, wide kind of a thing, and everybody can do it. I kind of tell people, I mean, my spiel is, you know, are you a ghost rider? You know, do you leave less when you go out than what you found when you came in? But yeah, you know, if people want to find, you know, their local riding group, of course you can Google, the internet's a wonderful thing, and kind of see who's doing trail maintenance, or even call the local land manager. You know, that park that you ride at, give them a buzz. Ask the rec ranger, hey, who helps maintain these trails? Do you have any volunteer groups? Be surprised at the folks that you'll meet. You'll have a great time. And at the end of the day, it's kind of nice to look behind you and see that trail that's nice and clear for all to use.
There you go. There you go. Well, we'd encourage folks to get involved with Backcountry Horsemen of America or their local trail riding clubs or any other equine groups. To help keep these trails open. And as Robert said, it can be something as simple as picking up a little bit. The simplest thing is to leave no trace when you come back out. And but get involved in that. Hey, you've got, you're getting ready to go for a 4-day trip back into the Bob Marshall?
Yeah, just a short one, a 4-day trip into the Bob, going in from the west side, leaving this morning. So I'll be in Andy and Chuck's backyard. Andy and Chuck are, of course, the great folks at Trailhead Supply.
Right.
And so I won't be going in with them on this trip, but going in with a gentleman that belongs to the Mule Club that I belong to, and we're going to go fishing. Now, notice I said fishing, not catching. You know,
yeah, I hear you.
I think Andy's already told everybody on the radio that I'm a lousy fisherman. I will respectfully disagree with that. I'm an excellent fisherman. I'm a poor catcher.
Well, and I know Tina May is sitting here, and she's just kind of chomping at the bits, because it's not going to be too many weeks before you and Tina May and Andy and Chuck are going to be heading out for a little bit of an extended trip. And Tim, for an extended trip back in the Bob Marshall. Are you guys all ready for that?
Ready for it?
Yes,
heavens,
I. Yes, I am. I'm ready.
See who was ready to go.
I should have asked.
Oh,
if you were.
I'll improvise when I get there. I never panic. I'll improvise when I get there.
Yeah, I should have asked if you were ready for Tina May. That's going to be the big question.
I am so looking forward. I mean, we've been chatting with each other over the radio for how long now? It's been a little bit. And to finally meet Tina May face to face is going to be just a hoot.
Well,
I can't wait.
It will that. Now, Tina May, are you a catcher or a fisherman?
I like the catch, but don't ask me to release it if it's a keeper.
There you go.
I kind of pout a little bit if I have to release a good fish that will taste good.
Oh, heavens. Well, Tina May can do the catching. I'll do the cooking because I do like the camp cooking.
Deal.
Done.
Deal.
Goodness. So, what are you guys doing to get ready? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. What are you doing to get ready for this big trip that's coming up the first part of August?
Go ahead, Tina.
So we're riding. You got to get those horses in shape and have them ready. And you just can't take them out field and then head to the mountains. They need to be ready. They need to be in condition. And I'm actually going to take a while to get up there just to get them kind of acclimated with the change in the air.
We're going to be at elevation there where we're going out of. And, you know, like you said, getting them legged up. I think this is, you know, spring and early summer is kind of a scary time for a lot of places because folks think, well, I'm going to take my horse out and I'm going to ride and ride hard, but maybe their pony's not quite up for it.
That's right. Well, that's a big thing to do. And of course, people have had some time to be doing that these last few months. Tina May, I mean, how many suitcases are you taking?
Well, being as this is a pack-in trip, not much.
Yeah. So
not
you don't,
much.
You,
this ain't no beauty pageant.
you don't have 4 or 5 pair of boots that you're taking with you, and it's funny you say that.
I'll probably have them in the trailer because, you know, every now and then my boots get wet, and I like to have a dry pair.
Mm-hmm.
The fire. I melted a pair of my boots once when I crossed Michigan, and they got wet, and it was actually kind of cold. And I didn't have a fire; I had a Coleman lantern, and I thought, well, I'll just stick my boots by that Coleman lantern, and I'll be darned if I didn't. My boots and they were leather boots, but they just curled right up, and they were gone. So I was glad to have a second pair of boots. So I always bring a spare pair of boots.
That is
This is going to be a fun trip.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And speaking of trail maintenance, that is something that I have always done. And I think it's something that should not have to be told to trail riders. But, you know, every once in a while you'll have a few that don't take out what they bring in. But I always like to carry, you know, some nippers with me if there's some low-lying branches. Or sometimes, you know, when you're out on the trail and you see, you know, where somebody had gone in front of you and they have some of them sharp sticks sticking out on the trail, I try to break those down too just to be safer out on the trail if there's ever a runaway horse. But that's something I think all riders need to keep in mind. And I think Backcountry Horsemen is a wonderful organization that tries to keep these trails open and safe for all that enjoy them, and I just think that's a really important thing is to keep these trails up and do your part.
Yeah,
exactly. If everybody just does a little bit, it's amazing how far that'll go.
Yep. Well, let's not forget to talk a little bit about Trailmeister and what's going on with the Trailmeister and the website and anything new that's happening with you except a lot of riding right now.
A lot of riding during the Pasayton episode. I put just over 100 miles on LT during that 8 days. So we rode quite a bit. But on the Trailmeister side, on the website, so not only currently is www.trailmeister.com, you know, the largest and, in my humble opinion, the very best trail guide in the world, with over 1,600 odd places in North America and Canada listed to, you know, ride and camp. We're in the middle of a redesign, and just this morning got off the phone with my developers and talk about nifty stuff that's going into this redesign, Gary. It is, I'm really excited about it. There's going to be some new functionalities. People will be able to plug in a destination point and a starting point, and you'll be able to route you just like the Google Maps, you know, the driving directions. But we'll show you places to camp with your horse along the way, you know, those overnight stops. Because those overnight stops.
That's my favorite thing.
You know, overnight stops are, for me, overnight stops are a pain in the butt. You know, do I find a fairgrounds? Is there fairgrounds along the way? Are they open? Where do I get the phone number? You know, things like that. So I've been putting a lot of time and effort. Go ahead.
It's hard to find along the route. You know, I mean, you can go through, which, by the way, I use your website now to find destinations to stop to on my way where I'm going, but that is going to make it so much easier. But it is kind of hard, you know, instead of just picking one out of a state, you need to do it on your route. So that would be such a great, awesome tool. Thank you.
thank you for using Trailmeister and for everybody else that uses it. You know, it's stuff that you know, at least I found important and lacking. And gosh darn it, I want an easy trip too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to have you as a guest on the show, and always to find out, to try to find out what you've been up to and what Boo's doing and what's going on with the Trailmeister. And we've got one more show that we'll do that we'll have with you before we have you and Andy and Tina May come on and talk to us about your big trip up there. So we're looking forward to hearing that and look forward to having you back with us the second Tuesday in August as well. So, Robert, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Happy trails to everybody, and I'll talk with everyone soon.
All right, have a safe trip.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so
bye-bye.
That's Robert, our Trailmeister Eversoul, and we're going to come back in just a moment and talk with Alice Ferguson, who is at the R&R Dude Ranch in Otto, New York. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. Don't go away. We'll be right back to talk with Alice Ferguson.
Shades of night are falling as the wind begins to sigh, and the world is silhouetted against the sky.
Oh, oh, oh!
Shadows on the trail, blue moon shining through the trees, and a plaintive wail from the distance comes a-drifting on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come and you'll be on your way. But until the darkness sheds its veil, shadows on the trail.
dawn will come, you'll be on your way. But until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail. Shadows on the trail.
Oh, oh, oh. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Blue Shadows on the Trail by the Riders in the Sky, and the second half of our show is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org, and Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can visit them online at trailheadsupply.com. And it's not often that we have such a fun guest to be joining us, but right now we're going to say hi to Alice Ferguson from R&R Dude Ranch in Otto, New York. Alice, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so
much.
Good
morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, we're in a thunder and lightning downpour here, so.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wow. Well, we're looking for that down here in Tennessee a little bit later in the day, but we're all in.
We'd love to share it and send it your way.
Well, we're all
inside.
Oh, no,
we've had plenty. No.
We're all inside where it's dry and cool right now, and we're grateful for that. But we want to find out more about you and about R&R Dude Ranch, and let's just kind of start out with what I thought was just a lot of fun, and that is how you came to have R&R Dude Ranch. Tell us that story.
Well, I'm a California born and raised, fifth generation, and my midlife crises at age 45, I decided I wanted to come and visit New York State and see the Russian Ballet at Lake Chautauqua Institute. And while I was at the Institute, I befriended these people from Jamestown, New York, and they took me for some country drives, and I fell in love with it. The world does not know that New York State is 550 miles of drop-dead gorgeous terrain. It's not just the Big Apple.
Right,
so
right.
So when I went to leave, I told these people that I'd be interested in 200-plus acres, and 11 months later, they sent me a newspaper clipping that had an absolute auction, the ranch that I now own. So I flew in on November 21st, 1988, and I came to an absolute auction, and I was standing there. I had made an offer from California. They refused me. Nobody was bidding on the property. And so finally the auctioneer looks at me and says, well, just make me an offer. So for one-third of the price that I had offered from California, I started the auction and was the only person to bid, and ended up with this beautiful ranch. I have 465 acres, and I'm standing here with all these smelly, stinky farmers in high heels and short shorts and 2 inches of snow. So it was a complete change of lifestyle for me.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I became what they call a stud farmer. I brought out 7 stallions from California, every breed, one of each breed, and a lot of mares with very good bloodlines, and started my birthing of 57 babies here in New York. And over the years,
wow,
the people that came here just decided they wanted to stay here with me, so all my closets became bathrooms, all my rooms became bedrooms, and so now I have this amazing business where I have people from all over the world, every walk of life, and I laugh every day of my life.
That's great. Well, I just imagine, of course, you went into a little bit more detail about the 6-inch heels and the short shorts yesterday, so you're kind of holding back on us a little bit. But
well, it's a little bit different when you're talking to the whole world and not talking to you.
Gosh. Well, so you, turned your closets into bathrooms and people had bedrooms and so how did that develop into what you're doing today?
Well, as people came here to buy the horses from all over because the bloodlines were really nice, the babies were gorgeous, they would ask to spend the night because they've flown in to see the horse and buy a horse. And so it just sort of birthed itself. And then over the years, as the people would come here, they would say, well, you know, everything wanted to be upgraded. Like they would want to, they had their bedroom, but now they didn't want to share a bathroom. So then every closet became a bathroom, and it just started multiplying out. But we have, over the years, done everything from work with CPMS, fibromyalgia, broken backs, to raped and battered women. So it has just evolved into what it is now.
Wow. Wow. Well, let's. Tina Mae always likes to find out about the facility. So, Tina Mae, I'm sure you have a few questions that you want to ask Alice.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'd like to know how she likes living in New York versus California. She went from one end to the other.
I know, and everybody out here thinks I'm crazy because they all want to go out there. But I'll tell you something. I love the seasons. I can't wait for the next season to happen. I can't wait till the next guest arrives. California is wonderful to live in, but it's not all it's cracked up to be. That fog sits on the coastline until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It rolls out for 2 hours and rolls back in. So you don't have all the sunshine on the coastline. You have it more inland. And here,
wow.
I've had nights, sunsets that have rivaled the California evening. So I am totally in love with New York State. Plus, I feel safe here. There's no earthquakes, no tornadoes, no hurricanes. I feel very safe, and no poisonous animals in our area.
Well, I can just hear it in your voice that you just absolutely love your little horse wonderland,
yes,
as you call it. Let's talk a little bit about your facilities. Tell us what are people to expect when they come to your place. What do you have there?
Well, almost everybody that comes here actually comes for one of two reasons. They either are horse crazy or want to learn about horses, or they come here to get away from the high corporate level stress type thing. I had one gentleman come out one day on my loft apartment, has a deck around it that overlooks the horses, and he's banging his head. And I said, what is wrong with you? He said, I thought I went deaf. He said, there was no backfires, no gunfires, no ambulances. So there's a peace about this little valley that we sit in that you don't find very many places.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. So you've got a loft. What are some other things that you have there?
Well, we have a big creek. Now, when I first came here from California, I thought that was a river. But it's called a creek, and a farmer told me. He said the difference between a creek and a river is that if you put a boat on it and it does not bottom out, it's a river. So we have a creek, but it has 18-foot swimming holes in it that we swim our horses in. It has brown trout, 40,000 brown trout dumped right in the creek every spring. We have fishing. It's wonderful. You just walk out the back door, and you've got this big creek river for my terminology anyway. And we go.
If you got trout in there, it must be a spring-fed creek.
Well, it actually feeds. This is the branch of the Cattaraugus, and then the Cattaraugus flows to Niagara Falls. So I tease my guests, if they don't get off at the first bend, they might end up going over Niagara Falls.
That's a scary thought. You got any barrels?
No, I don't. We do in the arena, but we don't put them in the creek, that's for sure. No temptation there.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we kind of got off track. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the facilities. Tell us about the places that you have for people to stay and for people to bring their horse trailers and stuff. Kind of explain a little bit in detail about that.
Sure. Our barn, we have in and out piped paddock, so the horses that come in with, the people traveling with horses can either stay in there, or we can put them in a pasture, a paddock pasture, or we can put them in the 100 by 200 foot piped arena. And the facility itself is a 100-year-old farm home, and it has 8 bedrooms and 8 bathrooms and no closets. But every room has a different theme. So we have a bear theme in our log cabin, and then we have an Indian theme in our loft apartment and country theme in our bunkhouse. And the reason it's called a bunkhouse is because it has a bedroom with 4 bunk beds in it, but it also has a queen bedroom and a living room and a full kitchen. So we call them our units because they're actually more than just a bedroom.
Ah. What about trails? Let's talk about some trails that you have there.
Okay. On my property itself, we have hour rides. So we'll take you out on an hour trail ride after a 20-minute lesson. It's a complimentary lesson, and that charges $35. Then from there, they can go on a 2.5-hour ride, which is a creek ride, which is really fun because you weave back and forth across the creek coming back down toward the ranch. Or we have state land right next door, so we go out on an all-day ride with a picnic. But around us, we have all these trailheads that are just breathtaking. We have a Rails to Trails program that is only 3 miles from us that is flat, mowed, de-pooped. It is just beautiful, and it goes through a little town called Little Valley where you can tie up your horses and actually go in the grocery store and get a cool drink. Then on the same trail is Little Valley Riders Trail Club and all their trails, which is 3 days' worth of trails, up into the mountains. Then we have two of my favorites. One is called Dobson Park. And Dobson Park is the most beautiful place I've ever ridden. It has so many pine trees. They look like grass, the baby pine trees. You think it's lawn, but it's not. It's trees. And you go through all these beautiful pine, these huge, huge pine trees up to the top of the hill. When you get up to the top, you're overlooking 3 villages and a big creek, and you just feel like Julie Andrews and singing. Then another one is called Little Rock City, and Little Rock City is breathtaking. It literally takes your breath away because it's at the foot of the Alleghenies, and it has these huge rocks that look like 10-story, 20-story buildings, and you ride between them, so you feel no bigger than a mouse. I mean, you and your horse feel no bigger than a mouse, and you go through all these tunnels of rock. It is just really, really beautiful. I've never ridden any place like that before. And then we have Allegheny State Park. Yes?
Allegheny State Park. Beautiful.
It is. Allegheny State Park has lit horseback riding trails, so you can ride at night.
Oh, wow.
And then we have Letchworth Park, which is about an hour from us. And the falls there's 3 falls, and they rival the American side of Niagara Falls. And you can ride all through that park. You can take hot air ballooning down the canyon and rafting. So all those things are really close to us, and Niagara Falls is only an hour and 5 minutes from us, so there's a lot to see and do in the area.
Oh, wow.
We have 7 golf courses. We have 3 ski resorts. We have a casino. All of that within 15 minutes of us.
Wow. Just a lot to see and do. We want to take another quick break and talk about one of our sponsors, but we want to come back and talk a little bit more about the horse options that you have there and also some of the four-season activities that you have, because it's a little bit unique and different from most of the campgrounds and guest ranches we've talked with. But right now we need to talk a little bit about our show sponsor, Trail Guard. Trail Guard is 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You receive unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get your trailer and horses home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help plan your trip and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trail. You can learn more today at trailguard.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Alice and Tina May. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
She had a long black braid hanging down her back and a California buckaroo style hat and a smile warm as sunshine in July. She had a half wild wide-eyed Mustang stud and spurs and jingle boots covered in mud and a playful little twinkle in her eyes. And she has ridden them up in Montana and she was raised on Bronx too tough to ride. She was born in the wilderness of Nevada. If there was anything she could do, she could ride, ride, ride. If there was anything she could do, she could ride. Aha! She owns land up in Montana. You can tell she works by her calloused hands. The kind of girl that money doesn't buy. Sitting tall and saddle chasing the breeze, her little bay's heart beating between her knees. If she can't be free, then she would rather die. And she likes to ride the ones up in Montana, and she was raised on Bronx, too tough to ride. And she was born in the wilderness of Nevada. If there was anything she could do, she could ride, ride, ride. If there was anything she could do, she could. Above Monterey, watching her dreams soar on eagle's wings. She's a girl with a heart that'll never be tamed, glitter in the wind that'll never be claimed, with fire racing through the depths of her veins. And she has ridden them up in Montana. Yeah, she was raised on Bronx, too tough to ride. She was born in the wilderness of Nevada. If there was anything she could do, it was ride, ride, ride. She could do, she could ride. Ki-yi-bidi-di, yodel-o-ti, yodel-o, yodel-o-ti, yodel-o-ti-lady. Ki-yi-bidi-di, yodel-o-ti, 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 yodel-o-ti. Rippity-rippity, yodel-o-ti, yodel-o-ti.
Picked out the song for the show by Mickey Daniel, and that's one called She Could Ride. I was thinking about Alice, and quite a horse background. We hadn't talked about your endurance riding and the other activities that you were involved in, but right now you're sharing your dream with everyone that comes out to visit your place. And let's talk a little bit, Alice, about the fact that people can come and use your horses and what's involved in that. And also it's a BYOH facility, so you can bring your own horse. let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we have people in from all over with their horses. They come from barns, like English barns will come out and actually exercise their horses on our trails, because our trails are uphill, downhill, meadows, forest, the creek. And when you are doing the English, especially if you're going to go into the endurance type or into any of the cross-country eventing, you want those muscles and those horses to have, you know, build up and not just be for flat land. So we have a lot of barns come here. We have people from all over. We even had Harvard polo team come here.
Oh, wow.
So I know. That was kind of a thrill.
I bet it was. I bet it was. Well, when people come, if they don't have a horse, they can come and they can ride your own horses. And you have a little mandatory free class that you provide for them. Talk to us a little bit about that. What's that for?
Actually, survival. It's a 20-minute dissertation and then another 5 or 10 minutes in the arena walking them around through the poles and making them go over a jump and just walking over them, learning to control the horse how it sees, how it thinks, how it communicates. An emergency dismount, we teach one rein stop. We teach all of that before they go out on the trail so that they can protect their knees and come back with their heads. You know, that's kind of mandatory. I tease the guests because I tell them, you don't pay till you come back. That way you're guaranteed to be alive.
Goodness. Well, and then you have your staff that takes folks out on those rides. For folks that want to bring their own horse and maybe have their accommodations they bring with them, talk to us a little bit about what your setup is there and how many sites that you might have and a little bit about that.
Well, we have 10 sites that we put in when I first came here that we graveled, and then the grass, of course, grew up through it, so we mow it. And it's mowed right down to the edge of the creek. So when you bring your RV, you just pull into one of these sites and they're pulled through, so you don't have to back up. You just drive down, pull in, park, and then when you get ready to leave, you pull out the other way. So they're sort of horseshoe-type places in the trees next to the creek. So you can go swimming with your horse. You can have your horse tethered there, or the pastures are right next door, so you can actually see your horses if you want to put them in the pastures. The cost is just $10 per person or $10 per horse. It's pretty inexpensive and a fun way to do. Then you have all the 7 trailheads around here that you can take too. If you would get, it would get pretty redundant just staying on my property.
Right. Yeah. Now, if somebody wants to have a guide to go out on those trails with them, is that something that's available?
Oh yes, they clamor to go with you, especially if you go off and you'll take their horse with them. Because they have, you know, some of the trailheads start 8 miles, 10 miles from here, so they have no way to get there and still be able to do the ride. You know, somebody has a trailer that takes them with them, and they know all the trails, so it's kind of fun for everybody.
All right. And one of Tina May's favorite things to talk about is food, because you do have kind of a bed and breakfast. If folks are coming to stay with you, what's included in that?
Well, bed and breakfast, of course, and breakfast is a full breakfast. I mean, it's hard. I always have food left over. Nobody goes away hungry. I'm a gourmet cook. So if they stay for lunch with the staff or dinner for the, with the staff, 99% of the people that have been here, they come back and they want to just eat here. And I say, no, we're not a restaurant. You have to have horse activity involved. So, but we offer that to everybody, like even the people who bring their own horses here, if they want to have dinner or lunch with us or even breakfast, then it's just, it's very inexpensive. It's $5 for breakfast, $5 for lunch, and $10 for dinner, and you cannot eat enough.
Wow. Yeah. Tina May, how's that sound to you?
Sounds pretty good to me.
And we have unlimited hay for your horses, too, because we have round bales out in all the pastures.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
And spring water. Spring water's out of every faucet. So your horses have this beautiful spring water to drink.
That is absolutely super. Well, talk to us a little bit about some of the camps that you have there. You've got some week-long camps and then some extended camps?
Yes. Our normal five-day, five-night camp is just horse camp. That's what we call it. It's so original. And
right.
They come in. It's all-inclusive. And I have ages from, well, they have to be able to lift their own saddle. That's the one criteria, minimum age. But I've had as old as 89 in my camp. So they actually have a horse. Either they bring it their own or they're assigned one from me according to their personality and sometimes dreams. Like, I've always wanted a black horse, you know. So we have every kind, every size, every shape. We have 32 horses. And so we try to meet all those little wishes and dreams so that their dreams come true. But they have to feed grain, groom, tack. I learned the gate safety. We're very safety-oriented because we're one of 5 places that the Girl Scouts approve in the state of New York. That criteria is very difficult to pass. So I'm very proud of that fact. And we do a lot of Girl Scouting, a lot of 4-H. And getting back to our programs, we have first of all, just horseback riding. Then we have what we call horse lover, bed and breakfast, and then horse lover. And the horse lover is our bed and breakfast, but it's two nights, and it has unlimited horseback riding or lessons. So you come in for two nights, 3 days, and if you ride more than three times in that time, you're saving money on every other ride that you take. I have some people that get up at 7 in the morning and want to ride till dark, and in the summer, that's 11 o'clock at night. So you can imagine how sore their derrieres are when they leave here. So what I tell them is they cannot call me for 2 days after they leave here. And then our ranch family, the extension, the one that you were talking about, is a little different. You stay or come back for another 9 nights, and you go into vetting, you go into ranch management, you go into becoming a wrangler, a counselor, whatever you want to learn. Our vet will come out and give a demonstration. Our farrier comes out and lets you actually trim a horse's foot. It's very intense and very structured. Where our horse lover program is very relaxed, and when you want to ride, you go find one of the staff and say, I'd like to ride. You can go out with yourselves. You can go out with other people. It's very relaxed, the horse lover program, and the camps are very structured.
Oh, wow. Well, you've absolutely got something for everybody and every level, you know, to come out and spend time with.
And those with horses and those without. And you're open all year round. Let's talk about some of the, you've got some different ski areas near you, and you've got different activities you do in the winter as well, don't you?
Yes, we really enjoy the winters here. I know Buffalo has a really horrible reputation for snow, but we're 49 miles south of Buffalo, so we get about 4 feet of snow, and we have three ski resorts around us. We have 220 miles of connecting snowmobile trail, so I get a lot of snowmobilers in here. And we ride as long as it's above 20. What we have found is the guests want to ride because it's a sunny day, but you go outside and it's like a minus. So we have that criteria set at 20 because when your legs are dangling, your toes start to freeze if it's below 20. And our fingers freeze tacking up. So that's the criteria for riding in the winter here. And in the summer, spring, and fall, we don't ride in thunder and lightning. But those are the only times we don't ride. We're open year-round. The winter
Do you have a big New Year's Day? I just, when you said that about 20 degrees, that's actually, that's my line right there is the 20 degrees, except for one day of the year, and that is on New Year's Day. I ride every New Year's Day, no matter what the weather is, but it does depend how long my ride is. Do you do a big New Year's Day ride? I know a lot of people like to do things like that.
The ski resorts around here are very customer friendly, and you can't help but do the activities that they offer because, for instance, last winter, my family came, my daughter and my grandbabies, which are 9 and 13, so they're up there. They offer in the evening three bands, hats, food, all free. You there, you dance, you have a parade of torches coming down the ski slope of over 100 people. So it goes on a little long, and then they have this huge fireworks display. So every year, that's what happens. And my daughter has told me, you can't beat this. What can I do to, you know, beat this? So that's kind of what we do on New Year's Eve. But I'll tell you something, riding in the full snow and the full moon is like living the Marlboro commercial. We go out in the pastures, in the fields, the pristine fields, and we have contests where the people on their horses have to try to make a heart in the snow, like the one commercial they used to have.
Right.
Well, we have found that my horse of 18 years only makes pretzels. She does not know how to make a heart. So it's quite a challenge. We have sojourning, which is where you have a 100-foot ski rope tied to the horn of the horse. You have two or three people. You either can race with them on either a toboggan or cross-country skis. And then we just pull them around the property behind the horse.
Oh, what a hoot. What fun. Mm-hmm. What fun.
And
what That's fun.
Then right here on the property, we have a 3-acre ice skating pond, but it's natural. And then we have a sled hill, and we have cross-country skiing. And then all the downhill and snowboarding and all of that's just 11 minutes away.
Oh, wow. Well, there's not much reason to leave your property to do anything unless you want to go get all that free food and music on New Year's
right.
Day. So, yeah, just a wonderful, wonderful facility. And let's tell folks how they can find you, your website, and there's some great photographs there and information as well. So, Alice, tell us your website and how we can find you.
Well, the website is very easy. It's just rrduderanch.com.
Okay.
And if you need information and you want to find us through email, it's just ranchinfo@rrduderanch.com. So
okay.
It's very easy. My website is very user-friendly. It's because I had to make it. So it is very simple. But it does. It shows you all the rooms inside and out, all the programs that we offer. It even has a comment page that goes on forever, and 99% of it's about the food.
So oh, wow.
Everything is on there.
Oh, gosh.
Pictures
well,
of our horses.
Yeah. For Tina May's benefit, and you don't know this, Alice, but she just kind of drools over some food. Just one meal. Just describe your breakfast for us.
Okay. French toast, Texas hash.
Go easy. I haven't ate yet.
Sausage, some kind of fruit, usually cantaloupe or honeydew or oranges. Then we have homemade biscuits, we have gravy, we have all of this stuff you choose, because I have so many different religious restrictions or personal beliefs, like vegetarian, vegan. I mean, even the rabbis have stayed here. So we have so much selection that you just go through and you pick and choose what goes with what you need. So I try to touch a little bit of everybody's needs, you know.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. Well, you are a delightful person to talk with, and a beautiful facility there. And folks sometimes don't think about the fact that there's so much riding available in New York. It's, as you said, it's not all New York City. There's beautiful, beautiful country out in the state of New York, and R&R Dude Ranch is certainly a place that people need to put on their bucket list. And let's mention that you do have a Facebook page, and that's R&R Dude Ranch, so you can go like them on Facebook. I have. And give us your website one more time.
rrduderanch.com.
rrduderanch.com. And when we come to visit, I want to know if there's a photograph of that memorable day when you went to that absolute auction in those 6-inch heels and short shorts.
No pictures. And I tell you, those high heels and short shorts were turned in for muck boots and jeans really quick.
Didn't last long, did they?
No,
didn't
it
last
didn't.
Long. Oh, gosh. Well, Alice Ferguson, you are a joy to talk with. And again, R&R Dude Ranch is a place that people need to put on their bucket list. So whether you have your own horse or want to travel with your horse to go to New York, or you want to bring your own, you can find it all there at R&R Dude Ranch in Otto, New York. And Alice Ferguson will make your visit a pleasure, I know. So, Alice, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. And
all right.
Hopefully we'll talk again sometime.
Well, I hope so. All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Tina May about some things that are coming up on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
When you get weary of trouble and care, here's what a cowhand would say. Cast your eye on the sun in the sky, yippee-yi, your troubles away. When you cut loose, watch your troubles vamoose, skies won't be cloudy or gray. No reason why you should worry or cry, yippee-yi, your troubles away. morning and dub through that lump in your throat. Greet the dawn with the cowgirl yell.
Yeah!
Here's what to do when you're lonely and blue. Make it a wonderful day. Cast your eye on the sun in the sky. It be your troubles away. Prairie folks assure you there ain't nothing that'll cure you any quicker than the medicine they fix up for themselves. With their sulfur and molasses, pepper tea and mustard plasters, and their camphor bags and flannel rags that line the bunkhouse shelves. But here's one remedy that they use that never fails to chase the blues. Just try it for yourself and see the world get brighter. When you get weary of troubles and cares, here's what a cowhand would say. Cast your eye on the sun in the sky, yippee-yi, your troubles away. When you cut loose, watch your troubles vamoose. Skies won't be cloudy or gray. No reason why you should worry or cry, yippee-yi, your troubles away. Scatter your woe with the sunrise. Everything's rosy and swell.
Swell.
Just sing a note to that lump in your throat. Greet the dawn with the cowgirl yell. Here's what to do when you're lonely and blue. Make it a wonderful day. Cast your eye on the sun in the sky. Yippee-yi, your troubles away. Yippee-yi, your troubles away.
That is the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band and Yippee-yi, your troubles away. And the Saddle Up America has been brought to you today by Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Who are you going to call, Tina May?
TrailGuard, absolutely.
TrailGuard, and you can learn more today about them at trailguard.org, and brought to you by our great sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian and Western lifestyle in the general store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Tina May, what a fun, fun show. Some great information with Robert Eversole. People need to kind of pitch in and do their part to help keep the trails that they enjoy open and clear. And just takes a little bit to kind of contribute to the sport that you enjoy and cherish so much. And golly Moses, Alice Ferguson, what a jewel.
Alice, isn't you now?
She is. And I think she was right when she said the two of you around a campfire would be something else to see. So a lot of fun talking with Alice at R&R Dude Ranch in Otto, New York. And tell us about our Legacy Club. That's kind of a neat thing we've got going on.
Yes, it is. Our Legacy Club is free for all our members. The Legacy Club offers great discounts to our members, like from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club sponsor, you are automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. And our monthly prize drawings, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
And how much does it cost, again, to be a member of the Legacy Club?
It's free.
Free.
And then they get all these discounts and all these promos.
Cool. Well, anyway, we encourage folks to visit the website, EquestrianLegacy.net, enroll in our Legacy Club, and be sure and visit and thank all of our sponsors. These are the folks that make Equestrian Legacy Radio programming possible. Fun show today, and I'm sure we have some great guests lined up for next Tuesday's show. Who do we have coming next Tuesday?
Ooh, absolutely. As always, we have Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Blairsville, Georgia, and talk with Sonia Alexander, owner of Track Rock Campground.
All right, that'll be a fun show. And could you imagine getting Susanna and Alice together?
Oh, I know. What a hoot. We better have a two-hour show.
I'd have to have a 2 or 3 hour show for that. But anyway, neat ladies. Be a good show
very
next Tuesday. Be a good show next Tuesday at noon. And then this Thursday, we have a really neat show lined up. That's at noon Central Standard Time. We're going to have a mother and daughter joining us. Joni Harms is one of the most talented and award-winning musicians that we've had several times on the show. And this time she's going to be joined by her beautiful daughter, Olivia. And we'll talk about Olivia's musical career and listen to some of her music. So that's going to be a lot of fun with Joni and Olivia Harms. And then we're going to be talking about a great event that's coming up in Tennessee at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Rory Williams and Kristen Corbin with TWHBA and talk about the World Versatility Show. And these walking horses can do a little bit of everything. So they'll be doing barrel racing and pole bending and dressage and jumping. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about that show on Thursday. And then we're going to have Joni Harms back to talk about her. We're going to talk about her and Olivia on Thursday. But on Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, Joni will be joining us and we'll be sharing some of her great music of faith. And talk more about her growing up on what is one of the rare things today, and that is a farm that has been in a ranch that's been in multiple generations out in Canby, Oregon. So that will be a fun show as well. Any final thoughts, Tina May?
I just want to have people just keep in mind with this that are battling with this heat and this strong humidity. To keep in mind your horses, make sure, you know, if you can, pick places that have shade and water available. And not only your horses, but if you have a canine trail companion, be careful with the dogs, because the dogs and the horses, they too can overheat. So just kind of keep that in mind in this hot, dangerously hot, humid weather.
Yeah, well, people need to be careful, both for their animal friends and themselves when it comes to the type of humidity that we're having in the southeast right now, and a little bit unusual. So stay safe and stay cool and make sure your livestock and your pets are all well watered and cared for. So anyway, another great show today. We look forward to having all of our audience come back and join us again next Tuesday for Saddle Up America. And we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close today's show with a great song from Bryn Hill's new album. The song is called Spirit Rider. And thank you again for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Well, I know you can't imagine riding all alone, carrying on this ranch on your own. Now the winds of change are blowing, winter's setting in, and you look like you have lost your best friend. Good times are all gone. Wonder if it's time for moving on. Like a be my brother. Now I'm your spirit ride. No reason you can't wish that you could hear my voice again. Just listen to the cold Wyoming wind. I'm the blue sky in the summer. I'm the colors of the fall. I'm the horses that you love most of all. And if you really wanna feel me close to you, go and do the things we love to do. His head and running, brother, don't ever.